Go with me to Mark chapter 6 and verse 1. Praise God. Aren't we just so thankful to have Jesus as ours?
Amen.
I mean, you know, the Bible says that He's been tested in every way that we ever will be, you know. And the good thing about it is He didn't fail the test. He passed the test. And I always thought that, you know, when I was in school and trying to find somebody to write my papers for me or, you know, let me look on their paper while I'm taking a test, you know, I didn't know Jesus back then, you know. You know, I didn't pick the bad kids. I didn't pick the bad students to copy and follow after. You know, I found the straight A ones. Well, Jesus is a good example of who to follow. Amen. He never failed. And so no matter what you're going through, He understands it. But He's your answer. Amen? Amen. He's your answer in all things. Hallelujah. So Mark chapter 6, verse 1. Father, we love You tonight. We're just so grateful, so thankful for Jesus. Father, my heart's desire, and I hope that it's clear around here, Father, is to exalt Jesus. Just like John the Baptist said, more of Him, less of me. And Lord, that's what I'm trying to do, is put Jesus in the spotlight, put Jesus in the forefront. Not the name of this church or this ministry, not the minister, but Jesus be exalted. The Word be magnified in this place. And so, Lord, help us tonight. Father, I'm just a vessel. I'm just the messenger tonight. So, Lord, I thank You give me the right mail to deliver. I thank You that whatever we say tonight, Father, we'll give You the praise and the glory for. I thank You bullseyes will be hit. And I thank You that we're all going to hear something that's going to bless us and take us to a new level. Father, we give You the praise for that. We give You the glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Mark chapter 6 and verse 1 says, when He went out from there, came to His own country, His disciples followed Him. And when the Sabbath day was come, He began to teach in the synagogues. And many hearing Him were astonished, saying, where does this man have these things, and what wisdom is it which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by His hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah? And Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at Him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country and among his own kin and his own house. And He could there in that place do no mighty work, save that He laid His hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And He marveled because of their unbelief, and He went around about the villages teaching. We've looked at this many times and talked about this, and we're going to go in a certain direction tonight. But notice in this place, there was no mighty work that was able to be done. And other places, there was mighty works that were able to be done. And so that tells me that on the earth, there's going to be places where mighty works are able to be done. And there's going to be places where there's not going to be able to be mighty works. And what's so interesting to me is that it's really, what I don't know about you, but when I came into what you call a word church, a church I actually taught the Bible, you know, and how much responsibility really was on my own life and how much was really up to me and how big of a part I really played in all this, you know. I always thought God just did anything He wanted. He was in control of everything. And I mean, I think a lot of people feel that way and think that way. And a lot of people just sit around and a lot of things don't end up getting done. And then God gets blamed for them. Amen. And what's amazing here is the Bible says in verse 6 that He marveled because of their unbelief. So He put the blame on them for not being able to do a mighty work. And I just think it's so amazing that whether or not God's plan is carried out, we know God is always willing. Jesus is always willing. If you're a good preacher in the sense where you want God's plan, you're seeking God, the preacher's willing. But yet, it can be hindered and stopped and hampered by the people. And to me, what that says is that's not really, that you can look at it from a couple of different perspectives, that it can be an accusation against the people, or you can look and see, wow, God's really trying to get it across to people how valuable and vital they are in all of this. And as a pastor, I know this to be true. There's been times, I remember Brother Hagin said this one time, and then it struck a chord in me. I've never had the influence that he had or the ministry, and won't have that influence and ministry that he had. You know, he was raised up for a certain time for his plan, and I'm raised up for my plan. But I remember him saying, that he'd go into a church, you know, and he'd have 8 out of the 9 gifts of the Spirit in operation. Just have wonderful services, you know, and he'd go to the next place and have the same amount of services and nothing would happen, you know. It'd be dry, no mighty signs, wonders, and miracles. And he couldn't figure it out, you know. So he started praying. He said, "Lord, I didn't do anything different. I still fasted, still prayed, still was in the Word, still lived a holy life." And the Lord said, "Well, it's not your fault, it's the people's fault." And I've seen that in my own ministry at times, you know. I'll do the same preparation, live the same life, and sometimes get up and preach and feel like my words hit the back wall and smack me right between the eyes. And then other times feel like there's a lot of utterance and just receive. And I've prayed and sought God on that. And he said, "Well, the people didn't come ready." And we see evidence of that. Now, I don't see that as an accusation against people. I see that as God saying, "People, wake up. You're important." And one thing we have to be careful about, because these scriptures came off of our honor series, this really kind of tying into the last message of our honor series that we didn't get to on Sunday. Lord changed up. Lord had me preach on, you know, Satan coming for the Word on Sunday. For whatever reason, he wanted to do that. That's just what we did. And so this kind of ties into it. But we need to be careful, though, that, yeah, there's a pastor, and, yeah, there's someone that's out forefront leading, and that's order in the Bible, and that's the way God does things. But we can't sit around thinking, well, if he's leading the show and he's out in front, we don't have a part to play and everything's just going to rise and fall on him. That's just not true. Jesus was out front leading, but yet the people hindered what they were able to do. And so what I'm trying to say is, ladies and gentlemen, my goodness, in all of this, you have roles, you have things that you need to do. And tonight I want to talk about, because really what it is in finding out this walk with Christian, in this Christian walk and walking on our salvation, is finding out what's our part in all this. We are members of the body of Christ, and just like members, different body parts have different functions and what they're supposed to do, and we need to find out what we need to do, amen? And so we have roles. Why? Because if we don't do our part, then God's plan and God's will not fully come to pass in our midst. And I don't know about you, but I'm not here to play church. I sincerely mean that when I say that. Like, I want to see lives changed. I want to see people that you wouldn't even believe would get born again, getting born again. People that you'd never believe you'd see raise their hands in church, I want to see them worshiping. People that you'd never believe would get dressed up for church. Or people you'd never believe would serve in a church are now serving in a church. Miracles, signs, and wonders, you know, the people that they talk about in town say, "Wow, did you hear what happened to that person? They got." I want that kind of stuff, healings, miracles. Amen. But that won't happen if you don't know your part and know what your role is in all this. So I want to help you tonight with that. So go with me to Hebrews 13. That's one of the places we've looked at a couple times for the honor message and just kind of, you know, honoring what God has put in our life with the shepherd and what the shepherd's job is and what our job is. But it was in Hebrews 13 and verse 17, it says this. It says, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves." And we looked at that. We saw order in the church. "For they watch for your souls as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable to you." You know, it's to your benefit to make my job easy. Amen. We didn't talk about this. I preached almost a whole message in Olean about this. But the Bible says that you want me to do it with joy and not grief, for it's unprofitable for you if I do it with grief. You want to show up. What can I do to show up to make pastor's life easy? You know, what can I do to show up to make, you know, what we want to do is protect the word around here. Amen. Well, if God gives me a word, we want to protect that on Sunday morning. We don't want to show up or a Wednesday night bringing all our stuff in here. We want the word to just be able to just be out and just flow and just bless us. Amen. And so, you know, you want to be a blessing and do what you can. And there's different ways you can do that. You know, you show up hungry, you show up excited about the word, you show up, you know, the Bible talked about the house of Onesiphorus for Paul. He said he refreshed Paul. You know, you want to be a refresher to your pastor. Amen. If you honor that office and honor what the shepherd has to bring to the people. But that's not what I want to look at tonight. Verse 18 says, "Pray for us." Now, what's interesting is we've talked about this before and we've mentioned these things before, but the Holy Ghost brings this up to me every once in a while. And I believe it's for a few reasons. You know, I notice this with my own children, that they don't just do everything I tell them to do the first time. Amen. Sometimes it takes over and over and over again to tell them. And I know this as a Christian. I didn't just do things of God the first time someone told me. I had to hear it over and over and over again. Well, it's going to be the same for us at this church. And so the Bible here tells us, Paul says, if you believe Paul is the writer of Hebrews, some people do, some people don't. I guess we'll find out when we get to heaven. It's really not that big of a deal. It's all the Word of God anyway. But he says, pray for us. So one of the roles that you have in this going smoothly and making sure that we as the people don't hinder the plan of God is we need to be praying for our leaders.
Amen?
Amen? We need to be praying for our pastor. And if you don't, if you don't believe your part, I want to go to Acts chapter 12 real quick and show you some things. You say, I've seen that before. Well, it does you good. Bible says, Paul said, it's not grievous for me to tell you the same things, for him by doing so it keeps you safe. Hallelujah. Let's go to Acts chapter 12. People say, I don't know if I have that big of a deal. Well, you know, over there in Jesus' own hometown, the people screwed up a whole series of meetings. They screwed up the power of God being able to flow. I mean, think about there they had Jesus in their midst. And they weren't able to do what they needed to do. Amen? And so we need to be praying. Why? Because the Bible says to. But you say, really, is it that important? Well, we know this portion of Scripture. And if you don't, you're going to see it. Acts chapter 12 and verse 1 says, now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. Sometimes people get critical and they say, man, why does Pastor Mike have someone next to him? Or why does Pastor Mike have someone, you know, kind of helping him around? Well, number one, I need a lot of help. I mean, come on, I just need a lot of help, amen. But there's times, you know, where, I'll need maybe to tell something to an usher, or there's just people that don't have the right best in motives and stuff. And we see these principles that people that stood at the forefront in the body of Christ, they had targets on them. It doesn't mean that they're more important to God, that they're more special to God, and that God loves them more, but it's wisdom, you know. Again, I'm not likening myself to a president, but I'm just doing it by what, you know, we would never just send a president out all by himself or a dignitary all out by themselves, you know. Even famous people travel around, they have people with them. Why? Because they can be targets at times. And so I'm not saying you don't understand what I'm saying. I'm saying in terms of the word, that's why we do some certain things. People say, man, why is Jeff so careful for Pastor Mike? Why is he always around him? Well, I think he just really likes me. But he loves the word, you know, just wants to make sure everything's okay. You know, not everyone has the right motives. I don't mean in our church, but I mean out in the outside world. And there's just times I need them to do things, and it's just good to have them there. So it's not because we think anybody's more important. We just want to be, we want to use wisdom. Amen? And he said he went to vex certain of the church. Well, who are the ones that he wanted to vex? We see here he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Well, who's James? James was one of the people at the forefront in the body of Christ at this time. You know, he was one of the 12 disciples, but he was actually had even a better backstage pass with Jesus than the 12 had. He got to go separate himself with Jesus quite often. Remember when Jesus would always pull aside three people? He'd pull aside Peter, James, and John. So they got even more backstage passes, more access to Christ and his ministry than even the other nine did. And so he was one of the top people at leading the show here. Notice what the Bible says. He killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. Well, we know Herod didn't act alone. The Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Herod wasn't the problem. It was the spirit that was motivating Herod. And we know what spirit that was, the spirit of the devil. Amen? It wasn't the spirit of God motivating Herod to kill James. And so we see the devil always works in patterns, same way God works in patterns, and devil doesn't do anything new, just like God doesn't do anything new. And the devil here was going after the leadership. And we'll see here in a second some things that will help us. So he killed James. He was able to actually take James out. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter. Well, who's Peter? Another leader, right? Leading out in forefront. Then were the days of the unleavened bread, and when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, delivered him to 4 quadrillions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer, everyone say, but prayer.
But prayer
was made without ceasing, that means they prayed a lot for Peter, of the church unto God for him. So the church started praying for Peter. No mention of the church doing that for James. And when Herod, verse 6, would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." His chains fell off from his hands. So we see Peter gets supernaturally delivered from the hand of Herod. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you think that God favored Peter more than James? No. Do you think God loved Peter more than James? Absolutely not. But why then was Peter spared and God and James wasn't spared? That angel that spared Peter, I'm sure, was waiting to be called out on assignment. I'm sure that God didn't say, "Wow, let's go get that. Where's that angel of mine to spare James? Oh, he's down at the pub. Oh, he's down at the bingo hall." No, he was ready. He was ready. But we know this, that prayer unties the hands of God, right? So here we see a precedent. James is killed, and a leader in the body of Christ, but Peter is spared, and the only thing the Bible tells us why is because prayer was made by the church. So you could put on James's gravestone, "Killed by the church." The same way you could testify about Peter, "Saved by the church." Do you see how vital and important? Do you think it was a big deal for James to get killed? Absolutely. Do you think it was a big deal for Peter to be spared? Absolutely. We see Peter go on and flip the world upside down on its head for Jesus. Well, the only difference between the two is the church prayed for one and the church didn't pray for the other. What am I trying to say to you, ladies and gentlemen? Prayer is important, but your prayers are important. Your role in all of this is so vital to see the plan of God. And when we're looking at it in context of honor, of what do we say about honoring the shepherd's office? We were not hero worshiping and man worshiping and exalting a man, but when you honor the office of the shepherd, you're honoring what God has on the shepherd's life and what it's meant for your own personal life. And so if you believe that God has called you to this place, it's not the building that God calls you to. Amen? Amen? Jesus didn't say people are scattered without a building. He didn't say people are faint without a building. Amen? Now, a lot of the church world doesn't know this. A lot of the church world doesn't realize and have honor for the ministry gifts. They think it's a building. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says, "They that be planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of our God." But I have people, friends and family. You probably have people, friends, family, and coworkers. They're planted in a church. Amen. There's people I know, they won't miss a service. They are faithful to serve in their church. They're faithful to give money to their church. They're faithful to show up on time and be there for every service, every function. They're the first to sign up. Yet their lives are anything but the picture of flourishing. Why? They're in a place that's not teaching the Bible. And whose responsibility is it to teach the Bible? It's the shepherd's job. So the Bible says that the sheep are called to a shepherd, and without a shepherd, the sheep are scattered. And so if you have honor for that office and you say, "I know I'm called to this place," that means you're not just called to this physical place, you're called to me, amen? You're called to my fold, praise God. You're called to be a sheep under in my flock, praise God. And so if you believe that and you're called here, then you have honor and respect for that office, and you say, "That pastor has something on his life that's going to benefit me." Well, if the Bible says that you as people need to be praying for it to work smoothly, we better be praying. Amen. What am I trying to say? This isn't a one-man show. I've never thought it was, never even crossed my mind. I know we can't do anything without the people's help. Amen? What I could say it this way is, you need me, but guess what? I need you. Amen? Look at the effect that the church had and the effect that the church didn't have. Here, you would think somebody like James would know faith. And I'll bet what happened was the church probably sat around, which a lot of the church does, especially, you know, they think when you have that religious mindset that God will do whatever he wants, and then if God calls a pastor, it all falls on the pastor's shoulders. But think about this. James was with Christ. If anybody knew what to do, what to say, how to believe God, it would have been him. He saw it. He had backstage passes with Christ. But here he was killed. And I bet what happened is the church probably thought, this is no big deal. This is James. James will get through this. James will be okay. And they probably became a lazy church. But when they saw that James was actually taken out amongst their midst, it probably woke them the heck up. That, wow, James wasn't delivered. So what they do, they did what everybody should do when we fall into trouble. They went to God. They fell on their face and went to God and started praying, started making power available. Go to James chapter 5 real quick. James chapter 5. They began praying for James, or for Peter, and Peter had a different outcome than James. And guess who the sole responsibility was of why Peter was delivered? The church. So evidently, those in leadership at times, now again, we can say this because we have biblical precedent, those in leadership will encounter tests and trials that will be too much for themselves to get through on their own faith. Yes. Amen. Yeah. Amen. I don't say this to be dramatic or to have a pity party for Pastor Mike. I'm just telling you the truth from talking with ministers and from things I've experienced. You'll never understand at times the assaults and the fiery darts that get launched in our direction from all different places. Again, that's not magnifying me. I'm just telling you, the church didn't realize what was coming against James. I'm sure they thought James can do it himself. But evidently, James couldn't do it himself. And Peter, mighty Peter, wouldn't have been able to do it himself either if the church didn't pray for him. Amen is right. Hallelujah. And so if you have honor for the gift, if you have honor for the role that I play in your life, well, then you're going to say, I need to pray for him. He can't do this alone. I hope what comes out in this message, one thing, is the humility that I'm trying to display. That I'm not a big, bad faith guy. That I'm not big, bad out in front leading the charge and I don't need anybody. No, I'm telling you, we won't do what God has called us to do if we don't do our part. And one of our parts that is vital for you to take a stand on and to sign up for is praying for me. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. James chapter 5. Why was Peter delivered and why not James? Well, look at what James chapter 5 and verse 16 says. James chapter 5 and verse 16 says, confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. But this is what I want you to see. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Do we have any righteous men and women in here? If you're born again, you all are. Hallelujah. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Sue, would you please pull that up in the Amplified Bible? I want you to see what it says in the Amplified. It makes it much easier for us to understand. I want you to go back down to the second to last line there in the word the. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes, and we'll look at the rest of the verse, tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. You go back to the King James, please. So the Bible says that when prayer from righteous people, which you are, is made, power gets stored up. Power gets made, amen, for whatever needs, whatever there would need to be power for. So when the church didn't pray for James, there was no power for his deliverance. But when they prayed for Peter, power was made available for Peter. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I remember this story. I'll never forget this story Pastor Nancy tells concerning this. And it became so clear to me. She was coming back from, I believe, a set of meetings that she had traveled with Grant, her youngest son. And they were driving back from the airport. And it was late at night. And they drove by a Walmart. And it was all lit up, and there were cars in the parking lot, and Grant had said to her, can we stop and get a certain new video game had come out, and she said, oh, you know, I'm sorry, they're not open right now. And he said, yeah, they are, Mom, you know, the lights are on, and there's the cars are there, and she knew it wasn't a 24-hour Walmart, and she said, no, those are the people working, stocking the shelves for the customers the next day. Well, when she said that, the Holy Ghost said, that's what prayer is like. See, when people go in at nighttime and stock the shelves in Walmart, the people that come in the morning with a list of needs, they can walk in that list of needs and grab what's on the shelf and put it in their cart and cross that need off. But if people don't come in the night before, it makes the shopper have a lot harder time getting what they need. Oh, this is on my list. Oh, it's not there. Why isn't it there? Nobody stocked the shelves. Well, it's the same way. Nobody stocked the shelves. The power that was needed for James to be delivered was not on the shelves. But when the church prayed, the power was made. Praise God. Hallelujah. That rhymed. When the church prayed, the power was made. That'll preach right there. Praise God. Woo! Maybe we ought to title this message today on live stream. When the church prayed, the power was made. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, when you know some things about the beginning of time, and you know some things about the devil in control of this world, you can see why prayer is important. God has zero legal right to move on planet Earth until the Christian who has authority over the devil, who the devil is the god of this earth, praise God, that's just the order it is, when the Christian prays, it then unties the hands of God for him to move. Why didn't God just deliver James? Because he had no legal right to do it. The devil had every legal right to capture him and kill him until the church stood up and prayed and power was made available and it broke the chains off of Peter. Praise God. Hallelujah. So the Bible tells you, pray for us. Remember he said, obey them, submit to them that have rule over you. Who are the ones that have rule over you? The ones that preach the word to you. And he goes on to say, pray for us. Pray for us. So real quick, won't take long. Go with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We've looked at these things before. Now this is what I'm going to ask you to do. Now if you have a good memory, don't worry about doing it. But I would not have a good memory to do this. There are blue cards and pens. You need to write these things down. I'm going to give you practical steps of how you can pray for me. And if you love me, and if you love this place, and you love the plan of God, and you love the vision that your pastor has, and you love the gift that's on his life and where we're going, then you'll absolutely take this seriously, and you'll walk out of here with what the Word says, and you'll start doing this. Amen? Amen? We need to be a church that prays, or we will hinder the plan of God. If God has raised me up 7 years ago to start a church here, and has given me a vision, which he has, both of those things, by the way, and he's given me a plan, well, we know that it doesn't matter that God has a plan. We know that it doesn't matter that the minister wants to carry out the plan. God had a plan in Mark chapter 6. God, Jesus, as the minister, had a plan in Mark chapter 6, but the people messed it up. Amen? Amen. Well, if you're not praying, we could be messed up around here. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1. Are you ready? Again, I'm going to give you four things, actually five things in total, but four specific things from the Word of God that you can be praying for me every day. And remember, when you pray for me, power's made available. You know, the person that's putting the Campbell soup on the shelf and putting the diapers on the shelf, it might not seem like a big deal to them, but the person that comes in the next morning sure appreciates that it was there. Yes. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And you know what's interesting is, this just came up in my spirit about one accord and one heart, one mind. I'm sure there were some people in that church that were praying for James, but they needed everybody. Doesn't the Bible say over there where the Holy Ghost came and when the place was shaken? It always points out one thing. They were in one heart, one mind, and one accord. That means they all were not on their own program. They were all doing what they needed to be doing. Well, we find out our marching orders from the Word of God. And so when he says pray for us, and then we tell you what to pray for, it's not going to be good if just one person walks out of here and does this tonight. We need every single person that hears my voice tonight to go home and start doing this every day if we're going to see the plan of God come to pass. Listen, think about an orchestra. You know, just one person doing their own program. You know, they're all supposed to be playing a certain thing, and they're all supposed to be playing, say, rhythm and blues, and they're all doing their thing, and then just someone starts just going off and playing classical. One person in a whole orchestra doing their own thing can mess the whole sound up. Just one person. That's why it's so vital, but that just shows that if we can get everybody on the same page doing the same thing, no wonder they had power. Because the Bible testified about them that they were in one heart. They were in one mind. They were in one accord. They didn't come in with their own agendas. They didn't come in with their own offenses. They didn't come in with their own programs. They came in to say, what's the words program? Let's all do it, praise God. And then power was made and they got things done, praise God. No wonder why the church nowadays doesn't see it. People come in with their own things, their own agendas, their own programs, their own plans of ideas of what the church should do. The church didn't serve me this way, blah, 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 blah. I mean, that's what people do, right? And it messes up the one accord. And the power's not made available. But let's not be that way, amen? Amen. Let's go forward in power tonight and do what the Bible says. I'm urging you and imploring to please do so. Paul said here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1, finally, brethren, pray for us. Who's he talking about? The ministers. Now, here's what I love about this. There will be no man on planet Earth that has ever been or ever will be that will have the ministry that Paul had. What do I mean by that? Paul was given revelation, word of God that we have for eternity now that will never be built upon. What do I mean? Nobody will ever get new revelation on the Bible. Let me explain that. You might get revelation on what the word already is, but there's not going to be any new doctrine coming out till Jesus. This is the word of God. There's nothing new to add to it. Things might become new to you that are already there, but the person that was mostly responsible for the New Testament was Paul. He had visions and revelations. He was brought before kings and mighty people to tell people about Jesus. He was as mighty as they come, as called as they come. And here he is in his humility. I love it. You know, one way you can tell a true fruit of a minister, are they prideful or are they humble? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. A true minister of God will have a humble heart. And Paul shows this humility by saying, pray for us. He didn't say, I'm big bad Paul. I went to Bible school with Jesus personally. No man taught me this stuff. He gave me the revelation. I'm the one going to stand before kings. I'm the one testified. I'm the one. Paul paved a road that we're still walking on today. Amen. Amen. Paul paved it for us. Praise God. He didn't get up there and say that. He said, listen. He said, church at Thessalonica, I need you. Amen. Amen. Now let's just bring this into common sense here. If Paul needed people, how much more? Right? I mean, I'm not trying to beat myself up, but I ain't Paul. I don't have the call that Paul had. I didn't receive the revelation that Paul has. I've not had the visions that Paul has. I've not reached the Christian discipline that Paul had. I've not arrived. I'm in nowhere near the level of Paul. And if that guy needed your prayers, and he was out front in his time, and God's put me out front here to lead this, why do we think that I wouldn't need? I mean, if anything, pray double time. Yeah. Pray triple time. Whatever they prayed for Paul, multiply it by 10 for me. Amen. I'm serious. I'm not just saying it to make you laugh or to just try to look humble. I mean it. Pray for us. So we're going to find out what to pray for your pastor here. Write this down. We're going to put these in that prayer packet that I'll have for you on Sunday. So it'll be in that as well. But write it down. I don't want you waiting until Sunday. I need you praying tonight. I need you praying tomorrow. Why? Because the more you pray, power gets made. What is the slogan? When the church prayed, power was made. Amen. You watch. It's going to be on the website. And we're gonna trademark that thing, man. I'll tell you, we're gonna trademark it. But anyways, pray for us. Here we go. Number one that you can pray for your pastor is that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. Number one, pray that Pastor Mike, that in Family Church South Dayton, that the word would be glorified and have free course. That's not hard to do. Amen. Amen. He wouldn't have told him to pray that specifically if it would just automatically happen. Now, why would it be important to pray that the word would be glorified and have free course? Well, that word glorified means that the word is honored, that the word is kind of like an idea of set on a pedestal. The word needs to be honored around here. The word needs to be, the word is the most important thing about this church. It's the word, amen? The word is what sets us free. Remember on Sunday, we saw the power of the word, that the word has the power to carry us to the other side of our problems. Why did Jesus say, let us go to the other side? Because that was supposed to be the vehicle that carried them through that storm. Why did God tell the children of Israel, this is your land? Because it was intended to be the vehicle that carried them into the promised land. Why did God tell Abraham, you're going to have a son? Because it was meant to be the word, the vehicle that carried him to that son. And it did, praise God. When natural things looked against, when his body was testifying against him, when the world was testifying against him, that word carried him. The word shielded him. The word kept him protected. Amen. And it would have worked for the disciples, and it would have worked for the children of Israel. So the word needs to be honored around here. And he says not only that it be glorified, but that it have free course. What does that mean? The word can go wherever it needs to go. What do I mean by that? Well, sometimes the word needs to come over here and touch on prosperity. Sometimes the word needs to come over here and touch on correction. Sometimes the word needs to come over here and hit on healing. Sometimes it needs to hit on honor. Sometimes it needs to hit on faith. We don't want to build a bunch of beaver dams to the word where the word needs to, we need to hit on prosperity. And the people are like, no, we're putting a stop there. No. It's kind of like the time I went back, I was coming back from Iowa, a Pastor Nancy meeting. I was driving to the hotel, and it was just downpouring. And I didn't know my way. I only knew a certain direction to get there. And it was raining so hard, I'd go to turn down the road and say, this road's closed. So I'd re-plug it in on my phone, you know. Didn't have a GPS in the car. And it would tell me to go this way, so I'd go this way. Bam, stop, roadblock. Bam, stop, police officers can't go this way. And it messed me up. Couldn't get, didn't have free course to where I needed to go. When those, the night before, it was easy to get home. Just turned on this street, turned on this street, turned. Well, that's the same way with the word. People come in with ideas and different notions, and he's going to preach on prosperity today. Oh, he's going to preach on healing today. Oh, he's going to preach on what to do with my money, what to do with my kids, what to do with my marriage, what to do with my job, how to be honorable. We need the word to do whatever the word needs to do. Amen. Let me tell you how I do things. I don't any, many, miny, mo my way through the Bible. I don't go to sermons.com. That's what I told Reverend Scott last night, met me at Olean, going over the Olean building, you know. And he was saying, I'm sorry, Pastor, I'm taking up so much of your time. I said, Reverend Scott, it's not that big of a deal. I just go on to sermons.com 5 minutes before I preach, and I'm good. He looked at me, I said, I'm just kidding. That's that sarcasm. I've never been, I don't even know if that's a website, but it seems like it'd be a good one. Amen. And so I don't do that. I pray and ask the Lord. That's why, like Sunday, we were on that honor series, and for some reason, we went to a different message, and actually before service, someone was testifying, I'm so glad you preached about Satan coming to steal the word. Well, maybe it was just for that person. I don't know. But the word's good. That's why we just follow the Holy Ghost. Amen? I just learned not to argue them, but we needed to have free course. So, with that being said, though, if you're going to start doing the word and praying on it, don't you be ticked off at what I preach then. Amen. Don't you be mad when pastor says, hey, we're going to start a series of this, or tonight we're going to talk about this. Oh, I've heard that before. Oh, why is he sharing that? Well, because you prayed for free course and the word needs to go there. Amen. That's where the word needs to flow. Praise God. I don't know what to preach on. I'm not smart enough to help a group of people, but the Holy Ghost is. Amen. Hallelujah. How many times, honestly, you know, just think in your own head, have you been in a service here and something was said, you said, my goodness, that's exactly what I needed to hear. I mean, right? Or, I mean, I'm not trying to talk for you. Testify, is it true? I mean, has it happened? I mean, I'm seeing hands going up and people's. I know because that's what happens with my shepherd, where I'm called to. But that message was just for me. Well, that's because he listened to the Holy Ghost and just shared with the Holy Ghost. That's why we brag on God and the Holy Ghost and not the pastor. Oh, we're thankful that the pastor's faithful to do it, but It comes from heaven. Hallelujah. So we need it to be have free course and be glorified. Why? Because there's certain times in a church that things need to be touched on to help certain people, to help the church as a whole, to help the plan of God go forward. But evidently it won't go forward unless people are praying for the word to have free course and be glorified. So pray that. Amen? Amen. Number two, found in verse 2. Again, we've seen these before, but I'm just thinking either the Holy Ghost is trying to remind us to keep doing this or people just maybe aren't doing it like they should be, and this is your reminder. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Herod was unreasonable and wicked. When the church prayed, Peter was delivered from him. Amen? Amen. You do realize that being a Christian in itself, with you know, regardless of minister or not, you do have a target on your back. The devil's out to get you. Amen? But here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen, you can claim this for yourself as well. We have scriptural proof that we can be delivered from unreasonable and wicked people. Remember the whole thing with the sprinkler system they said we needed in here? Think about it. They said, you know, without a sprinkler system, you know, you're going to be unsafe. Well, here's what the building guy said. He said, the size of that building, once a fire starts, by the time the sprinkler systems get to where they're even needed, everyone's going to be so far out of this building by the size of it that it's ridiculous. You know, you don't need that. It's just someone that was sitting in Albany, you know, that never built a building before, and they're making these rules. But he said the word, he said, that's unreasonable. When he said that word unreasonable, man, that thing, the fireworks went off. Because, man, at first it was going to be $25,000, then $40,000, then $50,000, then $75,000, then upward $100,000 to put a sprinkler system throughout this building because of the size of the occupancy. I said, that's unreasonable. I said, the Bible says we're delivered from unreasonable and wicked people. I said, that's what we teach people to pray for. So I said, no, Father, I thank you. We're delivered from that. That's unreasonable. Thank you, Lord, we won't have to do that. And they changed the code last minute. We didn't have to do it. Saved us $100,000, praise God. Hallelujah. But we have proof now that, Paul, he woke up, didn't he? He realized, wow, James was killed by an unreasonable and wicked person. Peter wasn't killed by an unreasonable and wicked person. And the only thing that spared Peter was the prayers of the people. So I need to put to this church, I need to let them know. Pray for me that I'm delivered from unreasonable wicked people. Why? If you pray that, power will be made available for what? Me to be delivered from unreasonable wicked people. I always say every day, Father, I thank you. I have favor with believers and unbelievers. And I'm delivered from unreasonable wicked people. Praise God. So please be praying that Pastor Mike would be delivered from unreasonable and wicked people. For all men have not faith. Now go with me to Ephesians chapter 6. So pray, number one, that the word would be glorified and have free course. Pray, number two, that Pastor Mike would be delivered from unreasonable and wicked people. Number three, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19. And for me, he says, and for me, because in the verses before he was talking about prayer. He says, now wait a minute, pray for me that utterance would be given unto me. So the third thing you pray is that when Pastor Mike opens his mouth, he will speak with utterance. What does utterance mean? That I'm speaking whatever's coming from my spirit, which came from heaven. Amen? Amen. Have you ever been in a service where maybe we started talking about money, or we started talking about marriage, or we started talking about kids, or we started talking about faith, and you might be in there, maybe we're talking about money and you need healing, or we're talking vice versa, talking about healing and you needed money. And instantly there can be a thing in your mind and your flesh that says, oh, I wish he was talking about money today. That's what I need to hear. I wish he was talking about healing today. But yet, during the message, all of a sudden, a door was open and we went down a rabbit trail. And a story was told or another verse was shared. And it was exactly what you needed. That's called utterance. Amen. We don't want it to be dry in here. We want me to be able to come in here and flow and just say whatever needs to be said. And if we need to hit rabbit trails and go in different directions, there's utterance for that to happen. But it won't happen if people aren't praying for it. Right. Father, I pray that you'd give Pastor Mike utterance tonight. That's number three. And then number four, that I may open my mouth. She said, pray for me that I'd have utterance and that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Hallelujah. Amen. It might not be easy going down, but bold preaching is what you want. Amen. I had someone mention this to me because I had made this statement. You know, that it's the hard things that I've said to people in their life that if they'll make the adjustments, they've made the adjustments and it changes their life. And let me just say this real quick, and I'm going to give you a little bit of a backstage pass into a life of a minister. You might think, well, he's so bold and big, bad faith, Pastor Mike. There is such a temptation to back off preaching the Bible and preaching the hard stuff about money and how to raise your kids and what the Bible says about honor and what to do with your money, different things like that. There's a temptation, and I can see why some of these popular ministries that are humongous, you listen to them, you never hear the word tithe. You never hear hardly anything about sin. You don't hear anything about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You don't hear anything about honor. It's always these feel-good, basically the preacher shows up, opens his thing, pulls out a loaf of bread, pulls out a knife, pulls out some fluff, opens it up, makes fluff sandwiches, and hands them out to the people.
Yeah, amen.
Not criticizing, but what about the person that's in the audience that they're struggling financially, but the preacher won't tell them, you need to tithe. You need to give. What about the person that's lacking power that needs to hear, hey, Jesus told the disciples, don't leave home without the Holy Ghost. Why are you leaving home without the Holy Ghost? And they never tell them about praying in tongues because they're afraid of offending the people. Well, that's not so easy for people to stand up here and do this. It's not easy to say some of the things. Some of the looks you get sometimes, some of the feedback, some of the criticism. I mean, people just criticize you and get on you. It makes it tough if you get into the natural. And I'm going to tell you this. I don't want you to feel bad for me, but I'm just telling you the truth. When I get done preaching, oh, then the assaults come into my mind. The devil will sit there with a machine gun and just pump thoughts into my head about you said this, you said that. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. Hallelujah. So you want the pastor to preach boldly because it's the bold things that changed your life.
Amen.
It's the fact that someone actually told you sin is wrong. It's hurting you. You need to be praying in tongues. Yes, tongues. It's not a crazy thing. It's real. Hallelujah.
Yeah,
and I can see why these big ministers who have filled their seats, if they started talking about tithing, they'd cut their congregation in half right there. It just would. You don't know how many people that have been here that have left the church. We're in the 30s now. I keep track in my mind because it's a funny phenomenon to me. That have left the church specifically just because of tithing. Just because of tithing. Well, I don't know what else to tell people about their money. What do you want me to tell? Do whatever you want with money. It'll be okay. No, it's a lie. It won't be. God told you to do something with it. I'm going to tell you what it is. So you want your pastor to preach with boldness, but evidently there needs to be power made available for him to step into that place and share it boldly. Amen? I'm so thankful for all the things that Pastor Michael said that stepped on my toes, that got up under my chin, that pep my fur the wrong way, mowed my grass sideways, all whatever you want to say it, however you want to put it. I'm thankful for those things. Why? It's the things I'm doing wrong that are hurting me. It's not the things I'm doing right. And sometimes somebody needs to point out, hey, dummy,
yeah,
talking about myself here, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Change. Do this with your money. Do this with your family. Do this with the church. Do this in your life. That's, because there's a temptation, you know, to get mad. But thank God he was bold. That's what changed my life. I'm not trying to call out any certain ministries or ministers, and I never would say them by name. You can think that you know who I'm talking about, the ones I'm talking about, but I'd never say them and never would admit it to you. But I'm telling you, I listen to these things, and I wonder, my goodness, what kind of a diet are these sheep on? They're not getting fed the word. They're not getting told what to do. They're just kind of showing up and, oh, God's a good God, and it'll just all work out for you in the end. No, it won't. If you're not doing the word, it won't work out for you in the end. Amen? Now, thank God. Understand something. God doesn't expect us to be perfect. Neither do I. God is a God of mercy. He understands we're all at different places, and he's always encouraging us. But once we've come in contact with the word over and over, we need to make changes. Amen? We need to make changes. Doesn't mean God won't love us if we don't, but we need to make changes or we will be affected by it. And remember, that's why we talk about when God's our Heavenly Father, we can rest in. He's not telling us stuff to hurt us. So those four things. Number one, pray that the word would be glorified, magnified. Number two, pray that it be delivered from unreasonable, wicked people. Number three, pray that speak with utterance. And number four, pray with boldness. And last but not least, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. We know the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. There's no more effective praying that you can pray than praying the Word of God. Why? The Word of God is the will of God. The will of God, the Bible says, when we ask the will of God or pray the will of God in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, we have whatever we pray. So when you pray for boldness, you pray for utterance, you pray for free course in the Word to be glorified, and you pray that I be delivered from unreasonable wicked people, we can claim the Word and say, that's what's going to happen because that's what the Bible says. Well, the other most effective way of prayer is the praying in other tongues. Because the Bible says over there in Romans chapter 8, when we pray in the Spirit, we pray according to the perfect will of God. Well, what happens when we pray according to the will of God? He hears us and we have. So 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 2 says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men but unto God, for no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Well, Paul gave us four specific things that we could be praying for. But how many of you know there's other things that come up? We don't know what's around the next corner, who I'm going to have to deal with, what business transaction, what the church is going through. But the Bible says if you'll pray in tongues, we're praying out those mysteries, we're making power available, and we're praying out the perfect will of God. So last but not least, I'm imploring you and urging you every single day. Because why? Every single day, shoppers come into Walmart. Every single day, shoppers need everything on the shelves for them, or Walmart gets complaints and the shoppers doesn't go as well for them. So somebody's there stocking the shelves. Every single night at Walmart, there's someone stocking the shelves. Every single night at Tops Market, somebody's stocking the shelves. Why? To make things available. So I'm asking you to pray this every single day. Now, this is where honor comes into play. If you have honor for this office, you'll recognize... This is a bragging on you now. That office cannot run effectively and efficiently the way it's supposed to without me. I'm saying it from your perspective. If you have honor, you'll say that pastoral office will not do what it can do unless I do my part. I'm trying to show you how vital you are. So I'm asking every day you pray those four things. But then every single day, take 5 minutes. Take 10 minutes and say, Father, I'm going to lift Pastor Mike up to you in prayer. I don't know everything he's facing. I don't know everything that's going on behind the scenes. I don't know personally what's coming against him. What's coming against him spiritually? What's coming against him naturally? What's coming against him in the church? I don't know, but I know you know, Father. And you said if I pray in tongues, I'll pray for power for him and the perfect will of God. So all you do is this. Father, I want to lift up Pastor Mike in prayer. After you pray those things in the natural, help me, Holy Ghost, to pray for my pastor. And then go off praying in tongues, 5, 10, 15, an hour, 2 hours, whatever, but do something. I'm asking for at least 5 minutes from everybody. Because think about everybody praying for 5 minutes, it all adding up. That's a lot of power. That's a lot of power. And if you got more time to give to it, or the Spirit of God saying, no, you're called to pray more for him, obey it. God will bless you for it, and I'll benefit from it. Amen? Amen? So I'm asking that you pray these things every day, and that you'll pray in tongues for me every day, even if it's just a minute, even if it's just while your toast is in the toaster. So that's my time I'm going to pray for Pastor Mike. Or when I'm just in the shower washing my hair, that's my time I'm going to pray. Or I'm driving to work, that's my time I'm going to make power for my pastor. But please, if you love me, if you love the office, if you love what God's doing and you believe God's called you here and God's put me out front, we need to honor that office and do our part. Because if the people don't do their part, doesn't matter what God wants to do, doesn't matter what I want to do. Amen? Thank you for being faithful beforehand. I believe in you. Amen. You have an important role to play. So let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank you for the word tonight. Oh, Father, there's such a plan that you want to do here in this church. Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Atono mai eta sun kutu shana mai esa na hai eto kune me ata isit ba. How mata, yeah, how do I say that, Lord? No son doro masai ento kumba tishita na ba. Yeah, even as the end of that service was, this just came into my spirit as a word of knowledge. The Lord's already talking to certain people in here to pick up the slack and praying for me personally. That the Lord, everybody should be, but there's certain people that will have ministries, that will have assignments, is what I'm trying to say. And even as and if you're one of those people, I'd ask you to come up to me after service and say, Pastor, you were talking about me, to confirm this word of knowledge. Because I just know that as I said that, the Lord was talking to people's spirits saying, I want you to be a prayer for him. And again, everybody ought to be a prayer, but I'm talking about going above and beyond. That it's almost like you're going to take up a role and sign up to say, I'm going to step into that place and pray more. And I don't know what that looks like or how many minutes a day or what that is, but Lord, just encourage you to come up higher. Yes, so we thank you for that, Father. Now be faithful with that. Be faithful with that. God will bless you for that. God didn't tell me who that was or how many people that was or who specifically had a nudging in their spirit to step up higher, but obey that. Obey that. There's a need for that in this place. There's a need for that. So, Father, we love you tonight. We praise you. Let's worship him together. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your goodness. As I look around, I know we're all saved in here. We don't need to give a salvation call except for, you know, if you are listening by live stream or in the archives, I guess I do need to mention it this way. If you've never received Jesus, heaven is waiting for you. Heaven is a free gift, but there is qualifications to get in there. And they're simple. It's not church attendance. It's not good works outweighing your bad. It's not giving money. The qualifications to get into heaven are believing in Jesus. So that means you believe he died, rose again. But then receiving him into your heart, asking him in your heart. That's what the Bible says. It's that simple. Whosoever calls on his name will be saved. So if you're listening, you say, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. But I do believe in Jesus and I want to receive him. Just ask him to come in your heart. All you simply say is, Lord, I believe in you. I believe you died and rose again. I come into my heart. I accept you tonight. And you'll be saved. That's all you need to do. And then get a hold of us and we'll get you hooked up in a good Bible teaching church. But Father, we just praise you tonight. Let's just wait on him and praise him tonight. We love you, Lord. Father, I thank you for touching hearts tonight. I thank you for calling people to come up higher. Yeah. It's needed. I'll just say this. It's needed. I'll just say it this way and trying to be as humble as possible without being a downer. Your pastor needs it. This plan of God needs it. This church needs it. You're important. You're vital. So be a doer of the word and obey your spirit. Yeah, the Lord's not unrighteous to forget those that labor for him. I know you wouldn't do it for a personal reward, but there is personal rewards for being faithful to God. So be faithful. Everybody in this place has a responsibility to do the word. We showed you what the word is. And if the Lord's called you up higher, obey. Obey, obey, obey. We bless you, Lord. We honor you. Is there anything else you want to do here tonight before we close? Let's just all praise and magnify him together. This is the kind of stuff that keeps us safe. This is the kind of stuff that keeps the church blessed. You have a role. Don't ever think that you don't have a purpose. Don't ever think that you're not important. Don't ever think that you can't make a difference. We need everybody doing their part. We need don't say, well, so-and-so, they're a prayer, they'll do it. No, no, no. One heart, one mind. One accord. Everybody doing the word of God. Everybody coming together. It's the same way with the parking lot. If everybody does what God says to do, the parking lot won't have problems getting paid for. If everybody does what God says to do in a church, all that God has us to do, it'll come to pass. Everybody has a part to play. Play your part. Pick up your role. Do it because the plan of God depends on it. Father, we love you tonight. We praise you. I thank you for every single person that was faithful to come out tonight. Bless them as they go forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you again for praying. We'll see you Sunday morning at 10. You're dismissed.